Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. My name's Sam Hart, in the presenter's chair. Now, Bruce Millington has now left the show. I'm sure a couple of you have watched the show a few weeks back, managed to hear his last show. It was a pleasure working with Bruce on this show, being the production on the show, and he's given me the opportunity to take on the Postcast. Hopefully I can do it some justice. Who's going to be joining me to preview this weekend action, though? We've got Racing Post Tips to Robbie Wilders and Racing Post Tips to Richard Birch joining me on the show. Robbie, how are things?
Yeah, going well, thanks, mate. Obviously, emotional times with Bruce leaving. Sort of before I worked here, I used to listen to the show when Bruce always hosted it. So, end of an era. But, yeah, we've certainly got the right man in the hot seat to fill in, I'd say.
Well, hopefully so. If I can do even a small percentage of the brilliant job that Bruce has done, then I'm sure I'll be happy with that. Birchie, good to have you back on the show, mate. We've got plenty of races to get through this weekend. Looking forward to the action?
Yeah, let's get cracking.
Yeah, let's get straight into it. And we start off with four races from Newbury, and the first of which is the 150, which is the 1 mile, 6 furlong, Geoffrey Freer Stakes, a Group 3 contest where Arrest has been extremely well backed here. 2-1 favourite now, Kamari 7-2, Klondike 9-2, Shandoz 7-1, Jack Darcy 8-1, Enemy 20-1, Louisa Casadi 25-1. The outside of the field is Ching Shi at 33-1. You'd imagine, Birchie, that the money coming from Arrest is due to the fact that this rain is coming down at Newbury.
Well, as the crow flies, I'm not that far away from Newbury. And we've had absolutely torrential rain all morning. It started at about 5 o'clock this morning and it didn't stop till about 10. So anyone who thinks the ground isn't going to be soft at Newbury, I think they're barking up the wrong tree. And as you quite rightly said, Arrest, the money's coming for him, and it's you know, it's because of his form, and it's also because of his preference for soft ground. He looked, it's wrong to call a potential sort of Group 1 horse slow, but he did look, you know, rather slow in Group 1 company on good to firm ground at Epsom and Royal Ascot. You know, but those races were the Derby and the King Edward the Seventh Stakes. This is a massive drop in class. He gets his favoured soft ground. He looked pretty special on soft ground at Chester. And I don't really think there's any reason why he should get beaten. This, I think he's, the price is shortening all the time, but I still think he's a fair price.
I think he's a fair price as well at 2-1. You've got to remember he won the Chester Vars in really good style on soft ground, like Birchie just said. And, you know, he went off favourite in the Epsom Derby as well. Robbie, I know you actually put a horse up in the anti-postman column. You can subscribe to Robbie's emails via the Racing Post website. But I was probably hoping with Enemy, Robbie, that you're hoping for 7 runners. You've unfortunately got 8 at this moment in time.
Yeah, I looked at the race at the start of the week, expecting it to be pretty fast ground, to be honest. And that's obviously, and therefore Arrest missing it. But he's here now. There is going to be a bit of soft in the ground. So I'm obviously a bit concerned by that. I think Enemy probably wants it a bit quicker, to be honest. Just sort of taking a fresh view of the race. I do wonder if Arrest is probably, I was thinking it's probably going to be good to soft. So sort of not quite as deep as Birchie was potentially thinking. The horse that I'm going to come down on is Jack Darcy at the prices. I was very keen on him at the start of the week as well, but I thought I'd hold fire because he did have an Ebor entry and he would have been £6 well in for that. But he's been declared for this. Just like what he did at Goodwood last time behind Hamish, he's a proper Group 1 horse on the soft ground. And he did a nice performance there in the Glorious Stakes, front running, leading at a steady pace. He could get his own way again out in front, and I think he's always going the right way. So about 8-1, he'll do me.
Okay, Jack Darcy at 8-1 for Robbie, and Arrest at 2-1 for Richard Birch. Robbie, do you know what price Arrest was when you were doing the anti-post column? How well backed is this
thing? Yeah, he was 4-1, 9-2, but I feel like that was partly due to the fact that he did seem an unlikely runner, but just the way the weather's gone, it's more market correction rather than any sort of heavy punting, I'd say.
There we go. Okay, good to know. Let's move on then to the 225 then, shall we, which is the Highclere Castle Gin Handicap. This is a 5 furlong handicap in a Class 3 event where 4 a day is the 6-1 favourite and Oisin Murphy. Libra Tiger is 13-2 along with Wolverhampton. Harry Brown and Swift Asset 7-1, 10-1 about Fantasy Master and 12-1 bar these. Considering we've only got, I think, 11 runners here, Robbie, it's a very open affair.
Yeah, these sprints always are, Sam. Very, very tough races. I'm going to stick with Harry Brown. He won his side at Royal Ascot in the Palace of Holyrood House. I think he's also on a decent mark. And then he probably ran a bit better than the result at Ascot last time from £4 out of the weights. He's only beaten less than four lengths by some really top-class sprint handicappers, older sprint handicappers. He's sort of, this look does look a slightly weaker race to me, and you're getting an each-way price. Now, there is a slight concern that he's in 11, he gets caught out on the wing again, but I think Hayley Turner will be wise to that, and I just think he's for sure betting the mark of 87, and perhaps he'll prove it on Saturday.
Yeah, I can give a quick mention to some of our sponsored shows now on this channel. But on YouTube, we have the What a Shout, where Graham Robway and Paul Keeley have both been quite keen on Harry Brown. So that 7-1 looks a really fair enough price. Who are you with, Birchie?
I'm with the top one, When the Dealing's Done. I think there's an absolute standout form line in this race. You have to go back a couple of years to Windsor, but it's in the form book and it's still, you know, it's still very relevant to today. And it's when the Dealing's Done beat Four a Day, the bottom weight in this race at Newbury, beating by 3/4 of a length. They race off exactly the same. You know, there's, I think there were four, there was £14 between them that day. There's £14 between them today. So they're racing off it on sort of basically identical terms. When the Dealing's Done has slipped a bit in the weights. He won't mind good to soft or soft ground. Got William Buick on him. I think he's overpriced.
Yeah, look, 14-1 currently When the Dealing's Done. If you go on Racing Post Members Club, if you're subscribed to Racing Post Members Club, which I advise you do so, you can go onto the pro card, look at the best odds on there and see if there's any extra place in here. A few bookmakers paying four places with some of the better prices as well. So certainly worth checking that out if you haven't already. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock then, where we go to a 7 furlong handicap, which is a Class 2 event where Open Mind tops the market at 6-1, Classic 8-1, Spangled Mac 9-1, Hectic and Top Secret 10-1, 11-1 About Bless Him, and then 12-1 and Bigger the rest. Richard Birch, you to go first here. Who wins this?
Very sweet on Hectic. Once again, we're going to look at a form line. This, we don't go back so far this time. We go back to April. It was on soft ground, over course and distance. Hectic beat Scholarship a neck. He's now with the Alec Voikanski £5 claim. He's now £7 better off with Scholarship, I don't see any reason why he won't win this race. I think when you've got, you know, seemingly fiercely competitive handicaps like this, you know, I don't care if the apprentice isn't, you know, red hot. Taking weight off, any weight that comes off is valuable, and Alec Voikanski is riding particularly well at the moment, and he is a very good prospect. So that £5 could be absolute gold dust. He's only got 8 stone £4 in conditions which are likely to be very testing. I think that's a massive advantage. I'd be very, very, very surprised if he wasn't in the first three, and I'm going to back him to win.
There you go, 10-1, Hector. Yeah, Alec Voikanski, a real decent prospect, like Birchie said. Robbie, for yourself in this one?
Yeah, I like one at a price here. Isla Kai, he's about 14-1, but he's slipped down to a very good mark. This time, last Royal Ascot, he wasn't beaten far when sixth in the Royal Hunt Cup off a mark of 100. He's down to 89. And I thought there was a bit of promise last time at Goodwood. He was third there, but he hit 2-1 in running. And it was the first time he'd encountered proper heavy ground. He didn't quite seem to see it out, but he does like a bit of it, and he's in the ground. The rain's come at Newbury at the right time. And he's got Alex Jarry on board, £7 claim. He's good value for his claim. So with that in mind, he's effectively run off 82. So you're looking at a very well handicapped horse, and I could see the money arriving for him.
Okay, a few claimers to watch out for in the 3 o'clock at Newbury, and some decent price selections there from the gentlemen. Let's go on to the feature then on Newbury's card, which is the Hungerford Stakes at 3:35. This is a 7 furlong Group 2, where Chindit tops the market 11-4, Jumbi is 7-2, Pogo 11-2, Marban 8-1, 17-2 About Mustabshire, 14-1, and Bigger the rest. Robbie, I was having a chat with you early in the week and said, you know, having a Group 2 like this is absolutely fine on a card like this, but it does clash with the City of York next week at York, which is, you know, it's a bit of a shame because the prize money's a massive difference, and we don't see kind of the best field that we want on these conditions.
Yeah, very much so. It does seem slightly strange programming considering that there aren't too many of these sort of decent 7 furlong races. But I wouldn't be surprised if one or two ran in both, such as the prize money at York. But Yeah, we're missing out on Sacred. She was the anti-post favourite. Chindit is that now. I am warming to Chindit, certainly. I know he flopped in this race last year, but he was carrying a penalty that day, and his record fresh is really good. He's coming off the back of a 60-day break. You know, this horse has finished second and third in a couple of lockings. He's right on the cusp of Group 1 level on his day, and this is a Group 2. I'm going to give a shout-out to Marban as well. He was my anti-post pick. I'm still hopeful that he can run a big race at about 8-1. That Lennox Stakes run last time behind Kim Ross and Isaac Shelby, two horses I consider to be, you know, Group 1 class. That was a decent run. He was last off the bridle that day. It's a pretty slowly run race. I think he looks like a bit of a seventh final specialist going forward. So I backed Marban each way, but I'll be having a win saver on Chindit as well.
Yeah, Chindit might just be the classy horse in the race, and I think Marban is a decent each way betting here as well. Richard Birch, who wins this?
Yeah, I agree with Robbie. Chindit, best form in the race. Last two runs in Group 1 company, the Queen Anne Stakes and the Lockinge. It's Richard Hannon's local course. If you were sort of at the start of the season, if you were mapping out a programme for Chindit and you could sort of guarantee that the ground wasn't ultra soft, you'd sort of be thinking a Group 2 in August at Newbury over 7 furlongs would be absolutely tailor-made for him. Well, here's the race, the Hungerford Stakes. It looks absolutely, you know, his race. So I'd be slightly concerned if it was very, very soft ground. But other than that, I think he should win.
Yeah, no, Chindit 11-4 looks a fair enough price. Well, that's Newbury's four races covered. Join us shortly after this where we have a look at Newmarket and Ripon.
Are you ready to take your passion for horse racing to the next level? With Racing Post Members Club, you gain exclusive access to the best racing insights, analysis, and tools. Immerse yourself in award-winning content, from interviews with the sport's biggest stars to race previews and behind-the-scenes features. Get the inside track with early access to the Racing Post digital newspaper from 9 p.m. in the evening and daily selections from our expert tipsters. Racing Post Members Club is your ultimate ticket to the thrilling world of racing. Subscribe today and pay just £9.99 per month for the first 2 months with the code SUMMER. See the link in the video description for more information. Terms apply.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast. Myself, Sam Hart, joined alongside Richard Birch and Robbie Wilders to preview the weekend's action. We take a trip to Newmarket now for one race that's being covered on the ITV cards there, which is the Grey Horse Handicap at 2:05, a 6 furlong contest for the Grey Horse. Is a fairly unique event, and I've been to see this race live, and it is a bit of a spectacle. But it's an open looking contest once again. Celtic Champion and Divine Libra are 6-1 joint favourites. Strike is 8-1, Magical Max 9-1, 10-1 about Masterclass and Music Society, and 12-1 and bigger about the rest of them. Richard Birch, this is always a fascinating race, but one that you can sometimes find a decent price in.
Yeah, I backed the winner of the race last year.
You did? You were on the podcast, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I got 6-1, and he, I think he went off 11-4, and yeah. It was only 5 runners. It was a lovely little touch. I'm with Strike again. I saw him race over the course about a month ago. He was second. He came from an impossible position in rear. The July course this year, unless you're unbelievably well handicapped, is a massive, massive advantage to those who front run or lie close to the pace. Now, that's a potential disadvantage in this massive field for Strike, because he is a hold-up horse. He's £3 higher than he was when he won it last year. But while I've said that, you know, it's difficult to come from behind at Newmarket this year, this sort of makeup of a race is exactly what he wants. He's got a massive cruising speed. He likes charging through a big field. And I'd be very, very surprised if he didn't finish in the first four. Obviously, things have got to fall right for him to win. But he's one of my best bets of the weekend, and I'll be backing him each way at 8-1.
Yeah, look, good. Birch, you might not be surprised to see it in the first four. Some bookmakers offering 6 places on this race here. Did the job for Birchie last year in this race. Can he do it again? 8-1, the current price about Strike. Robbie Wilders, who are you with in the Grey Horse Handicap?
Yeah, I totally agree with Birchie. I've got Strike in my notes as well. I mean, he's obviously as Birchie's pointed out, he won it last year, £3 lower. He's pulled seven lengths clear of the third over Newmarket last time from being held up. That was a really good run. He won it in a small field last year. That was a slow run race. He was held up. He was probably valued to win by a bit further, to be honest. So there's just so much to like, and you get an each way price. So Strike for me as well.
Okay, a joint selection with Strike at 8-1 in the only race we cover at Newmarket. Let's head off to Ripon now. Their big weekend with the Great St. Wilfrid being the highlight on their card. But we start off with what used to be the Consolation, which is the Silver Trophy Handicap at 2.40. They're a 6-furlong contest, and Fortimore tops the market at 7-1. Mark's Choice, 17-2. Thornaby Pearl is 10-1. Prince of Bel-Air is 12-1. Roundhay Park, 12-1. 14-1, and bigger about the rest of them. God, we're going to pick out plenty of decent prices on this week's show. Robbie, who are you with in this one?
Yeah, I'm with Golden Duke, Sam. He's in stall 16. I like a high stall in the 6-furlong sprints at Ripon. He's certainly paid to be in that position in the last six run-ins of this. All the horses the finish have been drawn high, and this horse is quite interesting anyway. He scored at 33-1 a couple of starts back at Doncaster. He had to wait for his run. He was blocked in and then switched widest of all. He did that in good style. And then on his latest start at Newmarket, he again caught the eye. He went off 25-1. He drifted quite a bit before the off. It was after a short break. And he hit about 9-2 in running again. Strong traveller, high cruising speed. But he just didn't quite find as much as expected. I think with that market drift and the fact that he's turning out quickly 8 days later, you've got Kieran Fallon on board. I quite like that book. And I just think he's got plenty in his favour. And I'll be backing him each way as well.
Okay, Golden Duke, 14-1. Currently best price about that horse there. Birchie, who are you with in the Silver Trophy Handicap?
Ripon's a funny course, but in these 6-furlong handicaps, when there's multiple, you know, there's big fields, I think you've got to be drawn either very, very high or very, very low. I think there's a massive advantage to be drawn on either rail. When you sort of add in a sort of course specialist as well, I'm very much drawn to Mark's Choice, drawn in stall 5. That's over on the far side. He's won, I think it's 6 times at Ripon. He won the race 2 years ago off 75. He's now off 77, but he started the campaign. I think he was on 82 or 83, and he's now down 5 or 6 pounds. I think it's crystal clear that Adrian Keatley has laid him out for this race. I mean, I always go back to when I look at these big handicaps and things. I think at the start of the season, if you owned or trained this horse, what would you be thinking of? You know, where am I going to get a big prize this season? What course is it going to be at? Is there an ideal race for this horse? And it's obviously this race. It's 25 grand in prize money. He loves the course. They've got his mark down for this race. I think tomorrow is, you know, he's absolutely his derby day. And yeah. Big cruising speed, turn of foot, like him a lot.
Yeah, one thing I mentioned there, Birch, you say about course and distance winner, it's a very undulating track, Ripon. So you can catch other horses out who haven't run here or who struggle to run here, can't you?
Yeah, it can. It's a your horse is either love it or loathe it, and that's why you get horses that sort of keep coming back and winning there.
Absolutely, and there's going to be plenty of Ripon specialists coming up in the 3.15, which is the Great St. Wilfrid Handicap, the Class 2 event over 6 furlongs, where Summergan, the legendary sprinter, is the 11-2 favourite. Monsieur Cody is 7-1, Lakota Blue 10-1, Dream for Gold and Sophia Starlight 12-1, 14-1 about a few here, Bay Breeze, Rartier, 12th Night and Wob Wob Wob, and 16-1 and bigger about the rest of them. Birchie, Summergan's a proper decent 9-year-old handicapping sprinter now, but he is taking on a fair few course and distance winners in here. What do we make of this one?
I keep talking about course and distance form and course specialists and whatever, and I'm going against my own judgment here. Stall 6 though, Sophia Starlight. I mean, you were at Goodwood, and you will have seen Sophia Starlight in a 6-furlong handicap there, saddle slipped after a furlong.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable run to finish second. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever if the saddle hadn't slipped, she wouldn't have won that race. She was declared for a 6-furlong handicap on the Goodwood Saturday. and I backed her for that race. And of course, I was at football and came out of football thinking, I reckon Sophia Starlight has won. And the last three or four races have been called off because of, you know, the waterlogged ground. So she missed out then, but I don't think she's going to miss out this time. As I say, she's an exceptional trapper. She's like a greyhound from the stalls. There is absolutely no horse in this race will lead her after 20, 30 yards. She's guaranteed to be in front. She's going to get that far rail. She's got loads of early pace as well as trapping ability. And she stays 7 furlongs really well. I don't think she's reached the ceiling of a handicap mark yet. And I heard you say 12-1 earlier on. I think that's a very, very fair price. I think she's a really, really progressive, likable three-year-old filly. And I fancy her strongly.
Yeah, currently 12-1. I would advise any listeners to go back and look at the race at Goodwood on the 1st of August. It was a filly's handicap. And yeah, the saddle slipped, like Birch said. And I think due to that, the horse hung right throughout the whole race. Kept on so well, and I think did very well considering what happened. And like Birch says, this horse is definitely improving. And 12-1, if this horse enjoys ripping, then this could be a really decent price about Sophia Starlight. Robbie, what's your take on this one?
Yeah, that was a pretty compelling case from Birchie. Yeah. I was sort of dismissing the low-drawn horses. The last 5 years, it's really helped to be stand side. Even last year, I know the horse that won was drawn in still six. Intrinsic Bond, but Connor Beasley moved him over to the stand side from that draw. Everyone's talking about Summergan in the build-up to this, how well handicapped he is, but you might be forgetting that Gulliver, his stablemate, is just as well treated. These two horses met at York this time last year, and Gulliver was actually given £1 to Summergan when he won. He's £14 better off now with Mark Wynn's £3 claiming, and he's got the high draw look for in stall 17. He's not been seen for about 60 days, but he does have a decent record fresh, and we know he likes these sort of big field sprint handicaps. So I just quite surprised that he's about 4 or 5 times the price of Summergan.
There we go, a few prices in there. I mean, this postcard's been full of prices, to be fair. I think that's due to the fact that we've got so many big handicaps to look at. So I'm hoping we found the listeners a fair few winners today. We're going to be back shortly after this. We're going to have a quick look at a race at Dover, which will be the pre-morning, and we'll also give our weekend naps.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the postcast. Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders and Richard Birch taking you through the weekend's action. Just about to give our naps of the weekend, but before we do so, we're going to have a little look at the Group 1 over in France on Sunday, or the main Group 1, which is the pre-morny for the two-year-olds, a 6 furlong contest at 3:25 there at Deauville. And I mean, I haven't got the full market here, but River Tiber turns up here with Ramatuelle, who looks like the champion two-year-old filly out in France. I mean, they're both around, from last time I saw the market, around 2-1 joint favourites. First of all, Bertie, I'll come to you. River Tiber, obviously the Coventry winner. I know you're a big fan of seeing these unbeaten horses. Probably hoping that you can stay unbeaten, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, probably got to improve again to win this race. Mm. But you know what, Aidan O'Brien's record in this race, and with this type of improving 2 year old, there's a question mark about the ground, obviously. Looks like it's going to be really, really testing over there. But if there was a doubt, there are alternatives to the race, he wouldn't be running. So I think River Tiber will take all the beating, yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, River Tiber, he looked very good in the Coventry, didn't he? The one interesting one is Ramatuelle for the Christopher Headyard, who have really made great strides this season. She won the Prix Robert Papin at Chantilly last time, beating an Aidan O'Brien two-year-old in His Majesty, an impressive star. Robbie, I mean, you've had a look at it. I spoke to you earlier, and you've had a look at this race. It is a fascinating contest and could be one of the best two-year-old races we've seen so far this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is the best. I mean, yeah. to my eye, it looks certainly better than the Phoenix Stakes won by Buccaneer Fuerte last week. I mean, you've got different form lines from Royal Ascot coming through. You've got, obviously, River Tiber's Coventry win. You've got Valiant Force and Elite Status from the Norfolk form. And then you've got this French horse as well, Ramatuelle, who looks superb in the pre-Robert Papin. And not to mention Van Dijk, who won in good start at Goodwood. So
yeah,
I think it's one to savour. The ground is going to be a factor. It's heavy at the moment. I don't know if all of these are going to handle it. I think Ribotiver definitely will. So if it stays testing, I think we're sort of looking at him and thinking he is one that could go 7 furlongs or a mile. So I think if it stays testing, I'll probably just about side with Ribotiver, but we'll see what the ground does before then.
Yeah, it's interesting. With the top two in the market in Ribotiver and Muracho, the only time they've actually faced testing conditions have both been on their debuts, where they've both won in good style. So it is going to be a really fascinating contest. Looking forward to that one on Sunday at 3:25 from Deauville. Worth tuning into that one. Right, before we go, we need to get the weekend naps. And we'll kick off with you, Richard Birch. Who's the best bet this weekend?
3 o'clock Newbury, hectic each way.
3 o'clock at Newbury, hectic. I think around 10-1 the horse was when we were previewing the race for Birchie. And Robbie Wilders, who's the best bet for you this weekend?
I'm going to go. I mean, Birchie's case about Sophia Starlight was really interesting, but I'm going to stick with Gulliver in the Great St Wilfrid, 3:15 at Ripon.
Gulliver for Robbie in the Great St Wilfrid. And I'm going to put up Ramachuel, probably a short enough price, from 2-1, 9-4 in the pre-morning on Sunday. And that's it for this weekend's postcast. We'll be back again next Friday, where we'll be previewing the final day of the Ebor Festival, along with some Group 2 action with the Celebration Mile at Goodwood. Until then, gamble responsibly, and we'll see you soon.